Good week for AI drama, as it turns out. Let's get into it. So the big story this week is Claude Fable, Anthropic's new flagship model. And there's quite a lot to say about it, not all of it flattering. First, the setup. Fireship's video this week has what might be the most apt title of the year. Anthropic begged the world to stop AI, then shipped this. Because that is more or less exactly what happened. 1 week Anthropic is publicly calling for a coordinated global pause on AI development, warning about the existential risks of recursive self-improvement. The next week they drop their most powerful model yet and announce a multi-billion dollar IPO. The cognitive dissonance is, shall we say, pronounced. Fireship notes this with the kind of dry precision that the situation deserves. This is the same company, same leadership, same public messaging. And look, you can hold both positions simultaneously in good faith, but the optics are not exactly subtle. Now, technically, Fable is internally identical to what Anthropic calls Mythos 5. The meaningful difference isn't the underlying model. It's a set of hard safety classifiers layered on top. If you send Fable a query touching cybersecurity, life sciences, biology, or chemistry, it automatically routes that request to Opus 4.8 instead. Mark Kasheff, who actually extracted and analyzed Fable's system prompt, found that roughly 80% of it is identical to Opus 4.8's. The new material is almost entirely the safety scaffolding. So the thing being sold as a new model is, in large part, a familiar model with a more aggressive set of guardrails and a new name. Whether you find that reassuring or underwhelming probably depends on what you are hoping for. On price, $50 per million output tokens, compared to $25 for Opus. Until June 22nd, it's free for paid Claude subscribers, which Fireship correctly identifies as a FOMO mechanism for subscription retention. After that, it's pay-as-you-go API only. So the free window is real, but it has a clear commercial logic behind it. Is the model actually good? By all accounts, yes. Fireship tested it by asking it to design a UI for a fictional horse dating app, a Tinder clone with working SVG horses and swipe animations, and called the result, in his words, legit. That's about as enthusiastic as Fireship gets, so take it accordingly. He also cites the creator of Bend, a GPU programming language, who described Fable as his personal singularity moment, which is a phrase that could mean almost anything, but clearly signals genuine surprise. Brian Casel ran a more grounded test, a real extension to an existing Rails application called Residence Radar, designed to monitor external content sources like YouTube, Reddit, and LinkedIn to surface trending topics in the AI building community. He fed Fable a complete scoping document with a verification checklist, a definition of done, essentially, and skipped his usual milestone-by-milestone breakdown. Fable explored the existing codebase, asked sensible clarifying questions before starting, and delivered a full implementation, including a new UI with trending metrics, magnitude, velocity, outlier score, in a single iteration. The post-build refinement was, he observed, significantly lighter than usual. His explanation: when the model has clear verification criteria and can check its own work against them, the back and forth shrinks. That's a useful finding, and it says as much about process design as it does about the model. Which brings us to the more interesting conversation happening underneath the model release itself, and this is where the week gets genuinely substantive. Both Kassel and Kasheff, independently, arrive at the same conclusion. The question of which model to use has become a real skill, and most people aren't treating it as one. Kasheff's video is essentially a cost optimization guide dressed up as a model review, and it's the more practically useful of the two. His framework: use Fable at high effort for planning and specification, drop to Opus or Sonnet at medium to high effort for execution, then use Fable again at low effort for verification and edge case checking. He demonstrates this across three project types: a simple marketing site, a 3D website with 3 JS complexity, and a CRM app with security requirements. And the workflow logic is consistent across all of them. The insight is that Fable at medium effort already outperforms Opus at maximum effort, and Fable at low effort is still competent enough for many verification tasks. So you're not choosing between Fable and not Fable, you're choosing where in the pipeline Fable earns its cost. He also mentions that within a Claude Code session, you can switch between models and effort levels mid-conversation using a slash command, which is the kind of operational detail that's easy to miss, but changes how you actually work. Castle frames the same idea slightly differently. Model selection has become a critical competency, and the question is no longer whether a model can do the thing, but whether the price premium is justified for this specific job. He also makes a point worth sitting with, that strategic planning, the work that happens before any code is written, is now more important than the coding itself, and it's learnable by people who don't write code at all. The toy demos on social media, he argues, are not reliable indicators of how a model performs on real business problems, which is probably the most useful thing anyone said this week. One practical caveat from Kashef: Fable's safety classifiers are aggressive enough that they'll reject legitimate cybersecurity queries. For anything in that domain, Opus is currently more reliable. That's not a minor footnote if your work touches security. Shifting gears a bit, there was also a fair amount of coverage this week around Hermes, which is worth clarifying because it comes up in multiple contexts and the name is doing a lot of work. The Hermes desktop app and a server-side Hermes installation are different things, and the use cases split accordingly. AI with Arnie's video covers 10 concrete applications of the desktop app: invoice processing, contract analysis, Git repository management, Cron job automation, and integrations with Obsidian and NA10. The GDPR angle is real. You can run local models through Olima rather than sending data to cloud providers, and you can install Hermes on a VPS for persistent around-the-clock automation. That's a meaningful option for anyone with data residency concerns or who simply doesn't want their business documents passing through external APIs. Cassell's take on Hermes is more architectural. His video is titled something like Hermes versus Claude Cowork. Wrong question. And the argument is that framing it as a competition misses the point. In his setup, Hermes handles routine background tasks: SEO monitoring, content aggregation, repository management, with Discord as the interface, because Discord's markdown support and channel structure make it a reasonable command layer. Claude Cowork handles the higher value creative work: content ideation, writing, design. He uses Claude Cowork's scheduled tasks feature for that. The interesting thing is that he was partly forced into this split by pricing changes at Claude Cowork, and he found that being forced to make the split explicit was actually clarifying. The underlying patterns, the logic of how a task is structured and automated, are platform agnostic. If Hermes disappears tomorrow, the same process runs somewhere else. That's a more durable way to think about workflow design than optimizing for any specific tool. On the broader industry picture, Fireship's earlier video from earlier in the week, before the Fable release, is worth a mention. It's more of an Anthropic character study than a product review. The company is valued above OpenAI on some metrics, planning a significant IPO, publicly warning about recursive self-improvement as an existential risk, and simultaneously shipping increasingly powerful models. Fireship draws the obvious parallel to GPT-2, when OpenAI initially withheld the model over safety concerns and then released it anyway to widespread indifference. The point isn't that the warnings are wrong, it's that the incentive structure makes acting on them essentially impossible in a competitive market. OpenAI, DeepMind, and xAI are all in the same race. Unilateral restraint is just market share loss. There's also a Boston University economics study mentioned, what the researchers call the AI layoff trap, where automation reduces overall demand rather than just displacing individual workers, creating a macro-level problem distinct from the usual displacement arguments. It's a brief mention, but it's the kind of structural concern that tends to get crowded out by the week's product news, which is probably exactly why it deserves to be noted. Quick mentions before we close. Pioneer gets a name check in the Fireship video as a tool for improving AI application efficiency in enterprise contexts, without much elaboration. OpenAI's Codex surfaces briefly in Kashef's video as a potential alternative to Claude Code, again without a real test. Both feel like placeholders for future coverage, rather than stories in themselves. And that's more or less the week. The thread running through all of it, if I had to pull one out, is this. The model capability gap between the top providers is closing faster than the strategic gap between users. Fable is good. The question of when to use it, at what cost, in what position within a larger workflow, that's the harder problem. And it's the one that most of the interesting content this week was actually about. The people getting the most out of these tools aren't the ones with access to the best model. They're the ones who've stopped treating model selection as a one-time decision and started treating it as a design problem.